Hi, I'm Dr. Taryn McCarthy, business owner, orthodontist, motivational speaker, and mom. After 20 years of striving for success in business, I'm starting the conversation about the business of happiness. True success in life is realized when we achieve inner fulfillment. Join me in the conversation with business leaders and entrepreneurs looking to reignite their passions and redefine success. Welcome to the Business of Happiness podcast. This episode today is just near and dear to my heart. I'm so excited for you to meet Kevin Palmieri. He is a great friend. He's a mentor, and I am so, so grateful to him for everything that he has meant to me in terms of where I am today. I can't wait for you to get to meet him as well. He is so knowledgeable, wise beyond his years. And what you can expect in today's episode is to hear Kevin's take on sales, believe it or not. We're going to talk about discomfort in sales, discomfort in general in terms of anxiety. Kevin shares some truths about anxiety that he's experienced in his life. He is also a podcast host of his own and a podcast mentor and guide and coach. So he shares some great tips in that regard as well. And then even more interestingly, you'll find out why Kevin thinks you don't deserve happiness. This is a fire episode. I know you're going to fall in love with this man. Please join me in welcoming the Never Quit Kid. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Happiness podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Taryn McCarthy, and we have an amazing guest with us here today. And my very first in-person interview, this is Kevin Palmieri, podcast host of Next Level University, podcast coach. All-around nice guy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me into your beautiful home and allowing me to mess up your studio and to be your first in-person guest.
So exciting.
I'm very excited. I appreciate you.
I am honored. Thank you. And yes. I appreciate you because everything that you see here, if you're watching this on YouTube, man, this is all put together by Kevin. So thank you.
You're
and actually
welcome.
Inspired by Kevin as well. This beautiful pink light was your idea.
Yes. It was definitely, so the behind the scenes, we've been at this since 8 a.m. It's now 5:30 or 6, so we've put in a solid day, but I think the final product is very worth the time that we put in.
So. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you. So this is what you do. This is what you do for people.
Yes. Yes. I help people take their messages and the things that they want to tell the world and let the world know about and bring that into a microphone and a YouTube channel and a podcast near you. So that's my goal.
That's awesome. Thank you for what you do.
Of course.
And you've made such a big difference in my life. And I hope you know that. I'm so
grateful. I feel the same for you. We always, Alan and I, the co-host of our show, we always talk about how much we love you and how excited I was to come see you and how I knew it was going to be a long day, you know, filled with doing things, but this is what lights me up. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that.
That's awesome. Well, you're very good at it. And what gave you the inspiration to do this in the first place? So you started podcasting years ago. Mm. So what sparked your interest in podcasting?
I was fairly lost back when I started podcasting. Mm. And Alan actually invited me to podcast on his like makeshift podcast that he had called Conversations Change Lives. Mm. And after he interviewed me, he went to the bathroom and my other friend was there. And I said, imagine if you could do that for a living. And he said, you know, you can, right? And then I went and bought the equipment 3 or 4 days later. And then I started the podcast. And there was not that much information. Mm. Like this was 2017. Mm. So not super long ago. But back then, Zoom wasn't a thing yet, or at least a thing that people used. Virtual interviews weren't really a thing. Mm. Podcasting wasn't nearly as big as it is now. So I had to figure out through failure, a lot of massive failures, how to succeed. And one of the stories I tell, I was traveling for my job at the time, back in the day, and I got the dream interview that I wanted with a professional mixed martial arts fighter and a philanthropist. We were actually talking about that before. His name is Justin Wren. He's a heavyweight fighter, but he also builds water wells in pygmy villages. So he goes into pygmy villages and they build water wells so they don't have to walk miles for water.
So cool.
It's amazing. I got the opportunity to virtually interview him and I used my cell phone recorder and it was garbage. And I just couldn't use the interview. And this was something that I was like, I almost quit. I genuinely almost quit podcasting because of that. And I sent it out to get the audio fixed. They couldn't do it. And I lost the entire episode. So I think for many people, that would have been the end of like, this isn't for me. Like, it's not meant to be. And I don't want people to go through that. I think that we all have a unique message. We all have a unique purpose. And all of us can tell our story in a different way. And if you're not the one on the microphone, then nobody's going to be able to tell your story for you. So I try to take out the stuff that people don't like to do. This part's awesome.
I'll tell you, I don't know how you do it, because we had multiple points in today's setup here where I was ready to give in. And, you know, you mentioned there that you were ready to quit, but you are the Never Quit Kid.
I am, yes.
On Instagram, that's your handle. And it's the truth about you. You just don't quit. You just keep persevering. Mm. So where does that come from?
That's a great question. I grew up in a broken home. My dad left when I was young. Mm. And I think that my identity became the human who could endure the most pain through. And unfortunately, I think I've probably attracted my fair share of pain into my life because of that. But looking back, I used to want to be a stuntman. And I've connected a lot of this recently. I wanted to be a stuntman. Hmm. I wanted to be a professional wrestler, and I wanted to fight mixed martial arts for a living. So I've always been into like that sort of thing. Looking back, my cousin and I used to pretend wrestle, and he threw me into a bunch of thorn bushes one time. And like, I kind of enjoyed it in a weird way. He beat me with a wiffle ball bat. I didn't enjoy that. But I've always been the kind of person who just said, like, I'm just going to deal with the pain. And I think that what I might have lacked in education, or I lacked in height, or I lacked in money or a future or vision, I think I tried to make up with, like, I will just outlast you. And that has been kind of my story. And I think, you know, we just crossed, and you know this, 720 something episodes. Alan and I have uploaded episodes in the airport. We bring all of our equipment, all the equipment we set up today, we bring on the road with us to do the episodes. I was having anxiety attacks in Florida, and I literally thought I was dying, like on the bathroom floor. Mm. And the next day we got up and drove 6 hours to interview Eddie Panero. So it's like, I might not have the intangibles that I feel, that's the way I felt. I felt like I might not have the intangibles that a lot of other people have, but I think I'm just willing to suffer more. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but it tends to work.
Has it ever been bad? Has your willingness to just pursue despite suffering ever hurt you?
If I have the lack of communication, like I don't always speak up when I'm hurting. Mm. And I've gotten way better at that. And that's something I'm consciously working on. But I'm also one of those people who says, like, I'll just shoulder the weight. Like, it is what it is. And being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you know, I've been broke multiple Christmases, and I can't afford to buy presents for my girlfriend. That asking her to cover rent. Like, if I don't communicate the way I feel, she doesn't know. Mm. So that's a me thing as much as it is an us thing. So yeah, it definitely can if you don't. And I think that goes for anybody out there. Like, whatever your unique coping mechanism, whatever your unique superpower is, comes with a detriment. Mm. And if you don't communicate the detriment, it might only be a detriment to some people. They might not see the actual upside of the amazing superpower that you feel that you have.
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of my audience members tend to be high achieving, driven men and women who can really identify with that idea of never quitting and being the hardest working human in the room. And I think that sometimes there is a downside to that, as you're mentioning, perhaps if you're not communicating, but I think burnout is a big sequela from pushing. Mm. Has that ever affected you, or have you ever felt that exhaustion where you've gone just beyond what you can do and seen the negative effects of that?
The Brendan Burchard event we met you at was the hardest month of my life. I was having anxiety attacks regularly during that time. Mm. So we were getting ready to go. We were probably a week away. I hadn't traveled on a plane I went to London, I think, a year or two before. But like, it was just so much overwhelm for me of like, okay, we're going to go stay. Alan says, we're going to go stay with our friend who's a millionaire. like a multimillionaire. We're going to live with him like while we're down there for the week. And it's like, okay, then we're going to fly back to Boston and then we're going to fly to Arizona for a 6-day event. And we're going to meet all these amazing people. And you're going to be in a room with 2,500 people and you're going to learn so much. And like, this was my first, you know, dive into like that level of self-improvement. Mm. And I was having anxiety attacks the week before we went. We went to Florida. I had the night we got there, we got to Florida, we went to the gym, because that's what we do. We go to the gym when we get there. Had an anxiety attack leaving the gym. Next day, we were supposed to go see our mentor. I had another one. I went and saw our mentor. Then we flew to Massachusetts because that was our connecting flight for some reason. And then we flew to Arizona. And the whole time I was in Arizona, I literally couldn't breathe. And like, I didn't know what anxiety was because I didn't know that I had it. And I remember Dr. Jen Esker was doing a breathing thing and I couldn't do it because I felt like I had a string going down my throat. And now I know it was anxiety, but then I thought I was dying. I didn't know what it was. So we got home and I literally spent like a week in bed because I was like, I can't function as a human being. Like, I don't know what's going on. I had one of my nurse friends get me a Z-Pack and I'm taking like all this stuff trying to get better. And then I researched it and it was like, oh, this is anxiety. Interesting. So now, and I think this is something that I am fairly good at and I've worked at this. I try to really do 80-20. I try to work 80% of the time and I try to genuinely shut it off for 20%. Like from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. most nights, you'll find me with my girlfriend watching TV. Watching a movie, watching Arrow, watching YouTube TV, whatever it is, so I can get back after it the next day. But I think you can proactively avoid burnout as long as you know what burnt you out in the first place.
Yeah, and listen to your body.
Yeah.
Because I think that's another thing that many high-achieving men and women do is we just stop listening to our body. We push through that pain. You know, there's a lot of strength in pushing through pain and there's a lot of growth that can happen, but it also can have the negative side effect of teaching you not to listen to yourself and to your body.
Yeah. Lori Harder, we had her on a long time ago and she said spotty 100% days are not good as consistent 80% days. So if you have 100% and then 50%, 100%, then 50%, 100%. I'm not going to do the math because I'm not in a conscious state to be able to do it. But if you do 7 days of 80%, it's better than spotty 100s. And I think that's, people tend to get on a roll and increase the workload instead of just, you know, progressively increasing. Like, yeah, it's good to do more, in the attempt to be able to continue to do more, not to do less tomorrow or way less. And I think you have to give yourself grace too. And I think that's important. But I think people, it's like you got to strike while the iron's hot. Like, yes, but you can also burn the food that way and you have to throw it all away and do it all over again.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are guilty of that. And I know I am for sure.
If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you didn't get into business to be miserable. The problem is that people feel that if their business gets busier, if they start becoming more successful, that happiness will eventually set in. But it can actually get worse. This is why I created the Business of Happiness Prosperity Coaching. In this one-on-one coaching, we look at how to redefine success on your terms and refind the joy and the passion in your dream. Visit me at thebizofhappiness.com and become the happiest business owner you know. And it's also, you get on a little bit of a high when you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
You know, you get into this flow and you don't want to stop.
Yeah.
And so that can also be addicting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that proactive taking care of yourself, I think, is very powerful.
Yeah. We did a speech on how to fill your cup. And I don't think that, and again, anytime I say I don't think that people blank, it's because I didn't think that what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what filled my cup. I'd put on The Dark Knight. I love Batman. I love those movies. They're so well done. And I'd pick up my phone. I'd be scrolling on Instagram. And then I wonder why I don't feel good in an hour and a half. Because I've been on Instagram. I haven't been R&Ring. You're not giving yourself that unwind that you said you were going to do. And I know for me, you know, probably similar for you, social media doesn't necessarily fill my cup. There's a lot of things that I can't, you know, contend with and filter out that I'm seeing that I might not want to see. There might be a lot of drama. So I think it's important to figure out what actually fills my cup? Is it a bath? Take a bath. Is it nature? Work in a half hour a day to get out nature. Like, you can do that. It's just as important to fill your cup as it is to pour it out. It's more important because you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah. And actually your breathing analogy is the same way. You can't inhale if you've been exhaling all the time. You got to take another deep breath and give yourself some room to breathe. Yeah. You know, the other thing that I really admire about you and something that I've learned from you in such a great way, and that is how you approach sales. Mm. And I bring that up because I think that brings up a lot of anxiety for business owners as well. Sales tends to be the one area, you know, when you're so passionate about what you do and your business, the selling part can get in your way. Mm. And I think that feeling of not being able to breathe is very familiar for people when they're trying to put a number or money towards value of their product. Yeah. And I just love your approach. So I was wondering if you could share with us kind of how you look at sales.
Yeah. Again, I've learned a lot from my business partner and he's learned a lot from me. So I'm blessed that we have this great thing going on. But when I started, I'm not a natural born entrepreneur. I'm definitely, this is all learned from me. Hmm. And sales, I'll give you a quick story. I used to be a personal trainer at a private club that paid very well. And the people who came paid like thousands and thousands of dollars. When I went there, I signed a contract that said, I will stay here for a year. If I terminate early, I will pay $1,000. Okay. They tried to teach me sales and they tried to get me to sell packages. Mm-hmm. I paid them $1,000 to leave because that's how much I hated sales.
Wow.
Yeah. I hated it. Couldn't stand it. I could not stand it. But it's because they were trying to get me to sell with pain. Like, can you sell with pain? Absolutely. I think humans take action quicker with pain than they do based on pleasure. Sure.
So what is an example of selling with pain?
This person, we need them to sign up for another 36 packages. Like, talk about the fact that if they don't get their crap together, they're not going to be around to see their grandson or granddaughter.
Oh, okay. So threats.
And it's like, yeah. And it's like, look, if this person was 400 pounds overweight, that actually might be true. It's not. This is a middle-aged mom. Like, this isn't, we're not at that. Mm. It's too much. So I think I had a negative association with sales. Mm. When I go to I bought a car recently. The energy in the dealership is so, I don't know how to explain it. It's dark. It's heavy. I don't like being there, but it's because there's so many people there who are just trying to sell. My philosophy on sales is this. If you believe in your product or service, if you believe in the person you're helping, all you're doing is communicating truth and value. And then you let everything else do the rest. So one of the ways I get clients is through free calls. Let's jump on the phone. Let's talk about your podcast. I want to know about it. I research. I do your website. I see everything. And then I ask questions. And if you bring something up that I think we can help you with, I will tell you how we can help. I say no pressure. I just know that we can help because I believe in it. And sometimes we get to the end of the call and they actually just say, how do I work with you? It's because I'm trying to deliver value. Mm. Now, in fairness, when I first started doing free calls, I was way more scarce. So I was way more attached to the outcome of I need this client. Mm. So I didn't approach it the same way that I would approach it now. And I think that we talked about this earlier. Anytime you're convincing somebody of something, mm-hmm. you're selling something. So if I knew there was a movie that you really would enjoy, I wouldn't have any problem selling that. If I knew there was a movie that you would hate, I would struggle to sell that. If I know you're not into violence and I'm trying to say, like, there's a movie and there's this guy and his name's Rambo and he's like kind of a war guy and I'm like, okay, I can't say that. I can't say he goes around killing people because you don't like that. It's a love story. It's not really a love story because the person dies. Versus saying, like, Titanic, one of my favorite movies of all time, the CGI, the graphics, the scale of that movie, the fact that it is one of the highest grossing movies of all time, it's a love story on the Titanic. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, like, amazing, amazing, amazing movie.
Yeah, you've sold it already.
Right, right. It's the greatest movie ever made, some have said. But I feel that way. Yeah. So I just think it's all sales is to me is me converting energy and enthusiasm and value to you and then letting you do your thing. I'll send a follow-up to check, but it's like, just add value. Just add value. My favorite example to use with my clients, how long, and I always say this, how long did it take you and I to work together?
Oh yeah, you and I, it took 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
We met in person. You said, hey, I'm going to do a podcast. I was like, awesome. First name was going to be Catching Fire. I remember that.
Yes.
We fell out. We fell out. You started coming to our meetups, our masterminds, whatever they were.
Yeah.
I messaged you one day just because I felt it. I genuinely felt it. And I said, hey, I felt like messaging you today. I hope you're doing well, whatever. And you said, hey, this is the kick in the pants I needed. I want to start my podcast. Yeah. Here we are, however many episodes later, and you and I have been working together. It's based on building a relationship, an actual relationship,
yeah,
and then nurturing an actual relationship. And when you build the relationship, the results will come eventually.
Mm.
As long as you focus on adding consistent value. I'm reading Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vee. It's a great, great book. Most people don't jab. They only throw right hooks. Buy this.
Mm.
I get a connection on LinkedIn. Hey, look at this. Hey, did you get a chance to look at this? Hey, what if we did it this way? It's like, I'm not interested. You didn't build a relationship. Like, I don't even know who you are. Hey, do you have a podcast? Yes, I do. Like, you can see that. Like, you got to do better research than that. So if you're out there right now and you're afraid of sales, I would say a couple things. One, you don't believe in your product or service.
Well, that's, you know, that I was just going to touch on.
Yeah.
That's absolutely so critical.
Yeah. It's the most.
Yeah.
Well, two, you have a money block. Something I've dealt with and you and I have talked about behind the scenes.
Yes.
I look at money way different than most people because the way I was raised, money was a love language to me. So that's a different thing. But if you take your feelings about money and put it on other people, that might block you.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid to say, like, you know, when we get on a call and somebody says, how much is that? And I say, it's $2,500 a month. It used to be very, very difficult for me to do that.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's worth, honestly, it's worth more than that. I know it is because I've priced it. So that, and maybe you just don't have the reps yet. You just don't have the, you don't have the experience of just being comfortable in conversation and then just doing it and then just letting the chips fall where they may. Are you going to get 100 yeses? No. You're going to get a lot of no's, but that's okay because you're going to learn what works and what doesn't and you'll believe in yourself.
Yeah.
It's just, you just got to have a conversation, tell the truth, and then see what happens. And don't be mad at yourself if you don't get the sale. Like, it's not the end of the world.
You know, it's really interesting because I think as a business owner and a leader of a team, when you might be hiring someone to do these sales for you, all of those points are very important as well. I think sometimes we expect people to be able to sell when they don't have, number one, belief in the product, or we haven't been consciously aware that they have belief in the product, or number two, that they have this uncomfortable relationship with money.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for someone to do. If they're not comfortable with the dollar sign in front of your product, if they don't think that that value is worth the number, it's very difficult to sell.
Yeah. It's almost impossible because then you can feel the energy.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel when somebody is trying to help you. I was on a call last night and I told you this. At the end, the lady said, "Hey, I just want to thank you because I thought this was going to be a sales call and you added so much value." I did talk to her about our products, but it was when she said, "This is how much I'm paying." I said, like, "We can probably match that, just so you know. And I know we can do it better." And she said, like, "Thank you so much for not being salesy." It's like, I just went in to add value.
Yeah.
I just, because that's what people want anyway. They want the value. If you add enough value, they'll find a way to work with you versus trying to convince them to work with you and then lying, cheating, or stealing to get it to happen. I think that's one of the things that I really think that's what shifted a lot in the past, in the real internet age, really, and social media age. Because now all you got to do is look at somebody's reviews or you got to look at their testimonials and you'll learn very quickly that some people just get clients to make money and then go do it again. Some people build relationships and get clients and then those relationships and clients bring more. It's just a different game that a lot of people are playing. There's the analogy I use is there's like supplement companies. There's a lot of supplement companies, right? And a lot of these supplement companies are actually old supplement companies who stole everybody's money with a product or service that doesn't work and then just changed their name and did it again. Like, that's so common in that space. But I think human beings, a lot of human beings are like that too. And somebody who's been hurt by sales is also going to feel like they might hurt others with sales. And it's just hard to deal with.
Yeah. An old story you bring along with yourself. For sure. Didn't I tell you he's great? It's just incredible to hear this wise wisdom from a young man. It really is fascinating how much knowledge Kevin really has. Now, I'm cutting us off here because I want to really give full credit to this entire interview. It just kept going, and I really want you to be present for all the exceptional nuggets of information and inspiration that Kevin has to offer. So this completes this episode. Please look forward to the next episode, episode number 84 with Kevin Palmieri, where we continue this conversation. And as I promised in the intro, you're going to find out Kevin's understanding of happiness and his daily strategies and disciplines for living to your greatest potential. You'll also find out mistakes he made and learned from, and as promised, why he thinks you don't just deserve to be happy. Ooh, it's a tough one. This is a great one. It's a wonderful mirror for so many people, I'm sure. So join us next time. And please remember, share this episode with three people that you know, because the more we can spread this information and guide and support friends of ours to be able to find happiness and understanding and living to their greatest potential. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the world becoming a better place if we just continue to support one another? So be that source of support for a friend of yours. And definitely, I cannot wait for you to hear episode 84. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Business of Happiness podcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And if you know of a colleague who could benefit from this perspective, empower their day and share this episode with them. Or check out more episodes on thebizofhappiness.com. I look forward to discussing happiness in business and in life with you further again next episode. And until then, remember, today is going to be a great day.